Our Heavenly Father, we come today and we thank you for being a loving God. We thank you for all the wonderful blessings that you have bestowed upon us. Father, we lift up all those people that this coming week are going to have to deal with the cold, the construction workers, and Father, even the homeless. Father, may they be able to find a shelter and a warming center where they can stay warm. So, Father, we do lift up each and every person that you put a hedge of protection around them, as most of the country is going to be below freezing. So, Father, again, we ask a special prayer for those that have to be out in the elements. Father, for us today, we ask that you would be with us, be with Denise as she takes the kids to junior church. Father, give them just knowledge and give them Father, give them a passion for these stories that they learn that are so foundational to their lives. And Father, for us, we ask that you would bless us today as we study your word. And Father, as always, may we not just be hearers of your word, but may we always be doers of your word. And it is in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, if you were here last week, we talked about how the doctrine of repentance isn't being preached in the church as much as it used to be. We also talked about how that word sin has disappeared from our modern conversation. And the reason it has disappeared from our modern conversation is because we're afraid that we might sound judgmental, or we might actually offend someone. And heaven forbid if we ever offend anyone. Well, today I'm going to follow that message up with something that I have to be honest with you has been bothering me for quite a few years. And that's the sin of the practice of witchcraft, which, by the way, is on the rise in this country. For instance, according to the Catholic News Agency, in 1990, an estimated 8,000 Americans identified as wicked. That's not too bad. Come on now, 8,000 in all the people in this country, 8,000, that's not too bad. Let's look at 2008. By 2008, this number has risen to approximately 340,000. 18 years, witchcraft has gone up like this in our country. Now, most recent estimates, now this was back in 2008, we are now in 2025. Most recent estimates suggest that there are now 1 to 1.5 million practitioners of Wicca or paganism in the United States of America. We went from 8,000 in 1990 to 1.5 million who are now identifying with Wicca or paganism in the United States. And I guess the question you have to ask is why? Why is witchcraft on the rise in the United States of America, but not only in the United States of America, but also in the world? Well, think about it. We just came out of the COVID pandemic. We're dealing with a lot of economic uncertainty, a lot of political turmoil, a lot of environmental concerns. And unfortunately, that has caused a widespread acceptance of astrology and the occult. And friends, believe me when I say this, it's going to get worse before it gets better. It's going to get worse before it gets better. You see, as people seek to control the chaos and all the instability around them, occultism is expected to gain further interest worldwide. And then add social media to the mix, and I'm sorry, you've got a global wildfire. We now live in a country where both religious and non-religious Americans hold New Age beliefs. And it has affected the millennial generation and the Gen Z generation more than any other age group. For instance, the Google search for spell casting has increased fourfold since 2016. Witchcraft influencers on Instagram have grown by the thousands in just 1 year. And then there's something called witch talk on TikTok. I have never been on TikTok, but there's something called witch talk on TikTok that has over 5 billion views. But here's the thing, none of this should surprise us. You shouldn't be surprised by that. And you know why? Because the Bible teaches that witchcraft and the worship of false gods will rise on the last days. And if you think we're in the last days, well, guess what? That's why you're starting to see an increase in witchcraft. From 8,000 in 1990 to 1.5 billion now. Turn your Bibles to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 9. Now in this chapter, the Apostle John is indicating that during a period called the 7-year tribulation, this is after the church has been raptured and so on like that. This is during the tribulation, that 7 years of hell here on earth, basically. A society centered around the occult will arise on a global scale. And you're starting to see it now. Look at what it says in verses 20 and 21. And the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, so as not to worship demons and the idols of gold and of silver and of brass and of stone and of wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their sexual immorality, nor of their thefts. How many of you are familiar with wicked? Well, for those of you who have no idea, Wicked was a Broadway musical that premiered back in 2003. And I am telling you, it has enchanted millions of people with its reimagining of the story of the Wizard of Oz. The musical is all about the backstory of Elphaba, the Wicked Witch of the West, and Glinda, the Good Witch. Its success has spanned decades, resulted in countless performances worldwide, and recently it has inspired a movie. Now, this movie, Wicked, was released on November 22nd, 2024, and to this day, it has made $683 million worldwide. A global phenomenon. That's not counting the $100 million made on premium video on demand in just the last month. Now, at the heart of the story is Elphaba. She's a misunderstood young woman with green skin, and her unconventional behavior sets her apart. Now, the story paints her as a good witch. She's a good witch striving to do what is right in a world that just misjudges her. And friends, make no mistake about it. Sorcery is central to the plot of this story. And Elphaba's magical abilities are portrayed as both special and remarkable. Now, Elphaba's journey may resonate with audiences because of its themes of justice and acceptance. But friends, the problem with this portrayal of witchcraft is it goes against this. You may think it's harmless, but it's not harmless because everything in this movie goes against this. the Word of God. You see, by presenting witchcraft as a source of empowerment and righteousness, wicked normalizes practices that the Bible clearly condemns. You see, instead of condemning them, wicked celebrates them. It celebrates things like magic, mysticism, and occult practices. Now, I realize these things are not only seen in the movie Wicked, they're in other movies. You also find them in the TV screens of the homes of millions of people around the world. And make no mistake about it, those things are a deliberate effort to desensitize you. They're there to desensitize you, especially our younger generation. And friends, all that stuff goes against this. It goes against God's word. Scripture explicitly condemns witchcraft. And we've made it out to be fun. We've made it out to be socially acceptable because of what's on TV and what's in the movies. Scripture explicitly condemns it. Witchcraft, sorcery, and any practice associated with them. Turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 18. Look at what it says in verses 10 through 12. Tell me what you think God thinks about this movie Wicked, or any of the movies or TV shows that glamorize witchcraft. You tell me what God thinks of it. You may think it's fun, but what's important is, what does God think about it? There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, one who uses divination, one who practices soothsaying, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who is an enchanter, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who inquires of the dead. For whoever does these things is an abomination to Yahweh. That's pretty hard. And because of these abominations, Yahweh your God will dispossess them from before you. Ah, come on, Ken. That's the Old Testament. That's that old stuff. All right. Go to Galatians. Let's go to the new stuff. Let's go to the New Testament. And we just did this in a responsive reading. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. And oh, by the way, I want to read the last part of verse 21 first, if I may. And the last part of verse 21 says, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. You practice these things. They're unconfessed, they're unrepented, this is your lifestyle, even though you claim to be a Christian. You will not inherit the kingdom of God. Not my words, Paul's words. Now let's read the whole thing. And we did this already. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are. And we're not talking about just falling. You know, you have a recovering alcoholic, somebody that goes out and he gets drunk. All right, one night he just falls into drunkenness. But then he repents. He repents. He falls on his face and he says, oh, Lord, forgive me. Oh, my gosh, I can't believe I did that. We're not talking about that. We're talking about people that have lifestyles like this, who do not repent, who attend church, and they're doing these lifestyles. This is what we're talking about. Not people that have fallen from time to time, because we all do. Now, the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, Idolatry, here we go, sorcery. Enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, and drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. These verses make it very clear that witchcraft is not a neutral or harmless practice. Friends, this is not a fairy tale invention. This is not a Disney invention. The Bible clearly tells us that witchcraft is real. It isn't a lie. It isn't a superstitious belief. Witchcraft is real. It's evil. It's dangerous. And it will take you to the pit of hell. But sadly, there are so many Christians who ignore its reality. And again, this you may be thinking to yourself, well, this doesn't apply to me. I've never messed with the occult. I've never gone to any movies like this. I haven't done anything like that. Well, you do have kids, right? You have grandkids, right? You have nephews and cousins and things like that that you love that are messing with this stuff. So this does apply to all of us. Applies to me. I got grandkids. I know watch stuff like this. It is a reality. You know, you have to ask yourself this question. Why on earth would God warn us time and time again about a practice that isn't real? You see, what we're talking about here is rebellion. Rebellion against God's command. And instead, what we're trying to do is seek power and guidance from other sources than God. And stories like Wicked, although fictional, you know what they risk? They risk normalizing the practices of the occult, desensitizing audiences, especially the younger people, to their spiritual dangers. And this can lead people, again, especially young people, to view witchcraft as nothing more than harmless entertainment rather than a direct attack against God's holiness and sovereignty. But you know, Wicked is not an isolated example of Hollywood's fascination with witchcraft and magic. I mean, many of the most iconic films and franchises have central themes that involve witches and wizards or magical beings. And that leads to the question, why? Why is Hollywood so obsessed with witches? Could it be that Hollywood and the film industry is trying to sell us something? Let me give you a few examples. Wizard of Oz, released all the way back in 1939. This is what introduced us to the Wicked Witch of the West and Glinda the Good Witch. 1971, Disney released their live-action animated film, Bedknobs and Broomsticks. Oh, cute little movie starring Angela Lansbury. Her character studies witchcraft and zooms across World War II England on a flying brass bed with three war orphans. How about the TV show Bewitched? If you're my age, you know what this show is. Oh yeah, 1964, 1972. We grew up watching Samantha and her cute little girl Tabitha. Oh yeah, she was a witch. We all learned how to what? Wiggle our nose? Yeah, cute. Oh, it's just a cute show. Desensitizing. You see this? Been around for a long time. How about the TV show Charmed? Ran from 1998 to 2006. It's all about Three good witches trying to keep their identities secret while living normal lives in San Francisco. How about the Harry Potter movies? How about the spin-off, all the Fantastic Beasts movies? Depicts a world where witchcraft and wizardry are celebrated, central to the storyline. How about the Lord of the Rings with Gandalf, Saruman, and the Blue Wizard wielding magical powers? How about almost every Disney animated movie that has ever been made? I'll give you a moment to look at all the characters. And that's not all of them. Now these stories, while entertaining, they all contribute to desensitizing us by normalizing and even glamorizing practices that God has what? Explicitly forbidden. And we're treating it as entertainment. This stuff blurs the line between good and evil, portraying witches, sorcerers, as heroes, and their practices as something you and I should admire. But friends, when you quickly read the Bible, you quickly discover a profound and sobering truth. The God of this world is Satan. The God of the world is Satan. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, the Apostle Paul writes, "In whose case the God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." You see, this verse highlights Satan's role in shaping the world system. And when I say the world system, I'm talking about its values. I'm talking about its ideologies. I'm talking about blinding people to the truth of this, of the gospel. And friends, don't be deceived. Satan's influence is at every level of society. It's in Hollywood. It's in politics. It's in education. And it's even in entertainment. Do you all remember in the Bible when Satan took the Lord Jesus Christ up to a high mountain and he offered him all the kingdoms of the world? Y'all remember that? Well, friends, that wasn't an empty boast by Satan. Look at what it says in Matthew chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. It says, "Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, 'All these things I will give you if you fall down and you worship me.'" Now, this wasn't just a mere temptation of pride. This was a revealing moment that revealed Satan's role over the kingdoms of this world. Now, did you notice that Jesus didn't dispute Satan's what? Claim of authority, did he? He didn't say, "You don't have that authority." No. Jesus says what? Quote a scripture back to him. But he didn't dispute that you have the authority to do that. You see, friends, make no mistake about it. Satan's power is no longer cleverly hidden. Satan has now come out in the open. He's now mainstream. And he openly flaunts his control. And Hollywood is one of his most valuable and visible tools. Friends, make no mistake about it. The entertainment industry is now ripe with images and scenes that glorify Satan and his agenda. For instance, when was the last time you watched an awards show like the Grammys? I used to love the Grammys. Oh, man, I did. Back in the Michael Jackson days and things like that. must-watch TV for me. Not anymore. The Grammys have now become nothing more than a satanic love fest. That stuff. They blatantly mock God and they celebrate darkness. How about last year's Paris Olympics? That was nothing but a satanic ritual disguised as an opening ceremony. Dark themes and performances that celebrated rebellion and chaos rather than unity and peace. You guys think this all this stuff was a coincidence? No. It's an agenda. It's an agenda to desensitize humanity to satanic influences, to normalize them as mainstream culture. Man, it is time for Christians to open their eyes and open up the Bible. Because Scripture shows us that Satan's influence is everywhere. It's pervasive and it's deliberate. I mean, look at what Paul wrote in Ephesians 2:2. Look at how he describes Satan. The ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. And where is Satan primarily working? He's working through the media, technology, and entertainment, and he wants to shape minds and hearts. He wants to turn people away from God's truth. And friends, the glamorization of witchcraft, occult practices, and rebellion against God is a direct reflection of his agenda. Satan is no longer hiding behind a veil of subtleties. No, today his influence is celebrated openly. From movies that glorify the occult, from songs that exalt the rebellion against God, Satan's fingerprints are everywhere. And the sad truth is this. We today, the world, has embraced what Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20 warns us against. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Satan's mainstream presence is a call for believers to wake up and recognize the spiritual battle that they're in. And friends, make no mistake about it, we're in a battle. And this stuff just didn't happen by accident. It's part of an intentional effort to lead humanity away from the gospel and deeper and deeper and deeper into spiritual darkness. And as believers, our job is to be diligent. We're to be discerning. We're to ground ourselves in this. Turn your Bible to Ephesians chapter 6. Look at what it says in verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Let me stop right there. We spend way too much time arguing with one another. Look at what it says. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. My struggle is not against yours, and your struggle is not against me. Stop. Stop with the arguing. Stop with trying to cancel everybody. Stop with, we're all mad at each other. We're fighting against each other. And Paul says, that's not where your focus should be. That's not where the war is. We're to love one another, to respect one another. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Friends, the time for passive Christianity is over. We cannot afford to be silent and indifferent while Satan's agenda unfolds right before our very eyes. Now more than ever, we must stand firm in our faith, proclaiming the truth of God's word and exposing the works of darkness. And how do you do that? How do you respond to this, our cultural normalization of witchcraft and other ungodly practices? Well, Romans chapter 12, verse 2 gives you the answer. Look at what Paul writes. And do not be conformed to this world. In other words, don't go to these movies. Don't be watching these shows in your home. Don't be taking your kids to these cute little Disney shows that are glorifying witchcraft and the occult. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may approve what the will of God is, that which is good and pleasing and perfect. This verse challenges believers to resist the pressure to conform to worldly values, but instead to what? Transform through the renewal of our mind. And I'm telling you, this type of transformation, it involves seeing the world as God sees the world. In other words, this means aligning our perspective with God, viewing sin as God views sin. And I got news for you. God does not view sin as entertainment like we do. He views it as rebellion against his holiness. Again, we live now in a world that is constantly working to desensitize us to sin. And if you don't believe me, I've seen it happen in my lifetime. You guys remember the first time we heard about a mass shooting in Columbine? I think I lost sleep for a week. It bothered me so much because we never really saw anything like that. They have mass shootings now, and I am ashamed to say this, but I don't lose sleep over it. Because I have been desensitized. Because I've seen it so much. And I think that bothers me more than anything, that it doesn't bother me like it used to. We live in a world that is constantly working to desensitize us to sin. It seems like every corner of society, from media to advertising, from entertainment to social media, we're being saturated with subtle and overt messages that normalize what God calls sin. Sin has been basically repackaged as personal freedom, harmless fun, and even virtue. And again, guys, this is not by accident. This is an effort by Satan to blur the lines between good and evil, to make us appear acceptable, to make all that stuff appear acceptable or even desirable. I mean, just consider the world's obsession with lust. Whether it's in advertisement, TV shows, movies, social media, lust has been glorified and normalized. Just turn on your TV and look at the commercials. I mean, we're bombarded with images and messages designed to appeal to what? Our flesh. And it's creating a society that celebrates what should actually bring shame. And guys, Satan knows that. Satan knows that constant exposure to sin weakens our sensitivity. Weakens our sensitivity to spiritual danger. What once shocked us doesn't even shock us anymore. That's sad. once used to bring us conviction now just seems harmless. And this isn't just limited to lust and witchcraft. I mean, this applies to violence, it applies to greed, it applies to every form of rebellion against God. And that's what sin is. You see, friends, the glamorization of witchcraft in stories like Wicked, they should absolutely be avoided. You definitely shouldn't be taking your kids or your grandkids to these types of movies. Instead, we should recognize these movies for what they really are. They're a tool. They're a tool that Satan uses to distort the truth and draw people away from God. All right, let me close with this. If you're here today, or you're listening to me on the internet, and you've been messing around with witchcraft, or you've been messing around with the occult, the Lord wants you to know that He loves you, and there's nothing you can do to ever change that. But He also wants you to know that He is a holy God, and He cannot tolerate sin. He wants you to know that you need to turn to your precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That you need to confess your sins. That you need to repent of the way you've been living and receive Jesus Christ into your life. And friends, you can do that right now. You can move from blindness to sight, from death to life, from being lost to being found. And all you need to do is give your life, all of it, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Sin is not a game. Not to be enjoyed. Let's pray. Oh, our Heavenly Father, this is not making me a very popular person. Because there are a lot of people that they just love to go to these movies and they see nothing wrong with them and they see them as harmless fun. Well, Father, I'm not here to please people. I'm here to spread the truth of your holiness. That this stuff, witchcraft, grieves you, even though we think it's fun. It's not fun. It's a sin that goes against your sovereignty and your holiness. Well, Father, I have been obedient. I have preached what I believe you've asked me to preach on, something that doesn't make me very popular. But Father, I just ask that you would use this message to convict people that are messing around with the occult and they don't even realize it. Father, convict them that we are to be different. We are to be holy. We are to be sanctified. This Christian walk is not when we want to walk the Christian walk. This is a 24/7 walk. And we have too many people who are attending church who call themselves Christians that have one foot into the world and one foot in your kingdom. And Father, that doesn't work. So again, this isn't the most. And Father, if they think this one really steps on toes, wait till next week's message. It's about time we start calling sin, sin in the church. So Father, I was obedient, and I just ask that you bless this message. And if somebody needs to listen to it, that they would confess and come back to you. So Father, we love you, we thank you. And it is in your Son's precious, precious name. Amen.